You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Well, I'll be. A hitchhiker in an Easter Bunny costume. Hop in. Where are you headed?
BJ's Wholesale Club to do my Easter shopping. I have so many baskets to fill.
That costume is so lifelike. There's not even a zipper.
Oh, there's BJ's. I can hop out here.
Look at him go.
Get a $15 digital coupon when you spend $150 on practically anything in one transaction through April 20th. Coupon will appear in your digital gallery on April 24th. Terms apply. Go to BJ's.com/Easter coupon for details. BJ's. Absurdly simple savings.
And here we go. I'm gonna, you're already muted. Perfect. All right, mute myself. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ring Post Radio, the only podcast that does a special bonus audio and video for you. As we head into WrestleMania weekend, a weekend full of independent wrestling shows, minor wrestling companies and major wrestling companies alike all coming together, converging in Las Vegas, Nevada, for some fun wrestling events. Scotty and I, when we were originally looking through this was like a month or so ago, looking through the various cards from WrestleMania weekend as they were putting together, one show, well, many shows, but one show specifically as well, struck out to us immediately as a potential show of the weekend. That is no lie. That is a legit shoot phrase that I think I said to Scotty. Obviously there's also been some changes, but I don't think that those changes have affected that opinion. I think it's still, this could be a show of the weekend indeed for WrestleMania weekend. And it was, and since you guys are friends of the pod, we wanted to reach out and talk to you guys to hype up this show. And that show is, of course, Pandemonium Pro Wrestling, The House Always Wins, April 17th in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm joined here by Nick Hart, thank you for coming on to the show. Thank you for coming on to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
I should say also, Scotty is not here because Scotty, if I'm not mistaken, is afraid of you.
Yeah, he's you know, avoided me for a long time. He's big leagued me, wouldn't let me on any of his podcasts. I always say it, Big Joshi Media has, you know, exiled me. I can't get on Stardom Quest either. You know, all these guys big leaguing me. But you know, I'm finally here. When he finally needs something from me, here I am.
He needs something from you, and then decides also to not show up. And that's
exactly, yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's the Scotty way. If I've ever seen,
I gotta you know, give him credit. He's committed to the bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, if I know Scotty, he commits to bits. Sometimes too much, and that's, you know, and that's to my discretion. But not discretion, but whatever. Anyways, Nick, thank you for coming on to the show. I'm very excited to talk to you because, like I said at the top, House Always Wins is genuinely, I think, one of the shows to watch this weekend for sure. I'm very excited about it. So thank you for coming on. I want to ask you a couple questions, obviously. House Always Wins, April 17th, Las Vegas, streamed live on YouTube, or if you're in the area, KPVM TV. How did the TV part of it things come together?
That was our owner Asan's whole deal. I mean, he's been working on that for a while. He went and had a meeting with them live and like in person in Las Vegas. I'm not sure really about the intricacies of like what that goes with and everything, but I mean, we're not getting paid. It's not like a real like network deal or anything.
Sure.
But we have a very specific time. We're going to run commercials, everything like that, just locally. So yeah, if you're in the area, basically, just YouTube will be like blacked out or whatever for people in Las Vegas. But if you're there, the network is available, I believe, in every single hotel in Las Vegas. So
that's very exciting. That, to me, that's a very exciting like little perk to add into this whole. This
very
whole
much thing. So. Yeah. Also, just because we get to look cool saying that we're going to be on TV, regardless of any form.
Hey, look, sometimes if I learned anything in wrestling, it's sometimes you just need gimmicks to help yourself look cool.
Oh, absolutely.
House Always Wins, of course, April 17th. I want to ask you up top first, just generally, sell the show. Why should people check out the House Always Wins?
I mean, when you look at especially the time zone, you know, we have our friends running against us. You know, we're friends with people in Defy. We're friends with Big Time Wrestling. It's been really awesome. Communicated with us. We have a couple of the same talents on the same show. Really, I mean, when you look at the card, I think we're the best show at that time, including Stardom. Like, you know, obviously, I'm personally sad that I'm not going to go to Stardom, but, you know, I know Sumi. I've texted Sumi. They haven't even announced their card yet. So, you know, if you want a guaranteed card that you know is going to be put together the way that you like it, it's going to be ours. We have, you know, Duke returning, like his, obviously he had that match in ROW, but, you know, the big match during the biggest weekend of the year. We just announced Kingsley as a replacement. This is her US debut. Miyu Watanabe, this is her first like true indie booking in the sense that TJPW wasn't as involved as far as like putting together the show or anything. So we don't have any TJPW officials going to be there. It's just Miyu. We're picking up from the airport and she's at the show. So from my understanding, what they told me, this is her first true indie, which is actually like kind of a big deal just in the sense that they said they don't do this with companies they haven't really worked with before. And we've had Miyu on our show before, Maki Ito. But that was like a normal, you know, in US tour booking directly from them. But I guess my relationship with them and everything kind of helped us be able to put it together. So super unique. You know, when we look at when we announced the CMLL guys, people kind of assumed it was going to be one of those CMLL versus Dragon Gate kind of matches or whatever. And I wanted to do something a little different. So I said, let's do one-on-one. Because Rob Viper for WrestleCon last year did that big 5-on-5. That was awesome. But I wanted to do something a little different. So even when we're looking at similar talents being booked in a completely different way. So I think we just have the most unique card, I think, of the weekend in general, on top of being maybe the most stacked card of the weekend.
Yeah, I genuinely like it. And you know, speaking about that, that sort of indie booking for Miyu Watanabe, that's what's interesting about that is like, especially coming from like a Japan culture, that level of trust that's being given with an indie, I think says something. It says something a lot of
I cannot put them over enough. Specifically, Akira Takahashi from Cyberfight, super professional, super great. Like the most communicative person I've ever worked with or anything. So I cannot put over them and TJPW like over enough.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me about the creation and conception of this card. Obviously, I think with any wrestling company on any level, how the card starts in your head and how it results. It is a minefield trying to get to the end result. In many ways, yeah. it feels like improv, right? Where it's just like you have an idea, but you're just gonna roll with the punches and play with it as it goes. So, talk to me about the sort of conception of this card and how it has changed and evolved to the at a time of recording Monday before the show.
So when just from my perspective, I knew, you know, I knew friends that had worked in Pandemonium before I ever joined, like to be a part of the team or anything. So they were supposed to have a show in 2023, I believe, and our promoter's father got sick. They had to cancel the show, and he basically took a hiatus for about a year. So when he started putting this card together, he reached out to some people that they had previously planned on booking, like Mustafa Ali was someone that we had direct contact with, some of the photographers, people that kind of were owed a booking in a sense. And then he kind of just got in touch with like an agent. Agent was sending him people, you know, who are available for the weekend. That's how Wardlow came about. Shelton, we actually had Shelton book before he signed with AEW. So that was, you know, it was just kind of putting together. I got involved because my friend at Epic Pro said, hey, my friend needs help with graphics. Started helping the graphics. I can't help myself. And I started telling him, you know, referring him certain wrestlers and saying like, oh, I know these people and this person. And then it kind of just became more of a trust system and all of us working together. So Robert Martyr is our official booker. Like he moving forward, you know, we're planning on doing shows more frequently. He's in charge of those. It's all his vision. For this show, it's a little more collaborative or using every connection that I have to put together this, you know, massive show. So if I know people in certain places, we've helped kind of work this together. So for me, it's just been kind of like, who's cool? Who are people like? What connections do I have? And it's ended up with me booking about 80% of this card when I'm not the booker. But
you know, hold on. But Robert Martyr takes the credit just real quickly.
Yeah, listen, Robert is going to be the guy. Listen, I'm not a booker. So, you know, like when the show starts,
I know.
I'm going to have no idea what I'm doing. So Robert's going to be putting this, you know, holding the show together and Making sure everything runs smoothly. And he has, you know, more long-term vision. The reality is, like, we can't run a show like this every, you know, month. Like, shout out West Coast Pro and Prestige. They're able to put out these, like, massive cards like this and stuff, especially Prestige. But, you know, we're not there yet. So we want to kind of do something a little more grounded moving forward. So Robert's really going to be the one putting all that together. But for the super mega show, then we're going to, you know, kind of use every connection we have to try to book what we can. So from every person that's pulled out, like Wardlow's out, okay, who would be cool to fix to replace them? We had DM'd Duke about it. He was still trying to figure out his visa, got his visa done, says he's available. So that Wardlow pulls out, and we're trying to figure out, is he a good enough replacement? Will people see it as a downgrade, upgrade? You know, we're, you know, it's that kind of that WWE mentality of like, don't underbook, overbook, you know, or like, don't underdeliver, overdeliver. So yeah, when it comes to replacements, it's literally just like us all talking, like who do we like, who's available, you know, who vouches for who, stuff like that. So
I should have asked this from the top, but contextually, what is your involvement with the promotion? It sounds like you're sort of a talent liaison, graphics department. What is on an, you know, for a company like on this sort of size, what is your involvement in it?
technically speaking, like graphics, head of communications is really what like we kind of put it in like an official term. So like I'm the one on the Twitter mostly talking to the talent, booking, filtering out stuff. I'm also really nerdy about wrestling, so if a wrestler I've never heard of reaches out and they send us their resume, I'm not kidding when I tell a wrestler like, yeah, I'm gonna check you out, I'm gonna watch their matches and go through it and stuff, and then I'll go back. And Robert's, you know, obviously in the scene, so he knows a lot of people on the East Coast and you know, down South Texas, Florida area. So you know, he'll be like, oh yeah, that, like I'll just say like, hey, this person reached out, I think they're really good, and he'll just go, oh, I've worked with them, oh, they're awesome, you know, and put it most of our group chat is just putting over everyone and wishing we could book everybody on our show, and I mean that so genuinely.
That's hilarious. Hey, look, you know, it's always this sort of things that, whether or not they can come together, you know,
Oh
timing
yeah.
is everything.
If it were up to me, I would have a card of like 20 matches of mostly just like indie wrestlers that I like.
when did you start working with Pandemonium?
It would have been mid-December. So they already had the matches that they had already had announced were or planned, I guess. So they had already announced Shelton and Wardlow. And then I think the first match we announced was Mustafa Ali versus Ninja Mac. And that was really appealing to me because obviously, like, you know, Mustafa Ali is Mustafa Ali. But Ninja Mac is actually one of my first interviews when me and Scott worked on the same website. Ninja Mac was one of the first people to like let me interview him for our tiny little website. So that was like, that meant a lot to me. Just be like, oh, wow, I'm working with him on a show. And then Sean Legacy versus Tommy Billington was like, at the time, like a, you know, one of the first WWE ID versus NXT people or WWE ID versus AEW people. And not really in the sense anymore. One, it's not as big of a deal, but it's also just like a different, you know, Tommy's not on AEW every week. But Sean Legacy's great. He's been so awesome to work with. So someone I wasn't super familiar with. And he's really won me over. I think he's fantastic. I think he's an awesome guy, shares all of our stuff, hypes the show, really excited. So we did that one. And then we had Mo Jabari versus Shelton Benjamin. We had to pull Mo for reasons. And then it was Epic Pro once again stepped in and said, hey, I know Kevin. I think Kevin would love this match if you guys are willing to work with him. Then we did that. So yeah, that was all like literally December was just all of that. And we were already having changes in this not in December. So
Now your main event is completely different.
Completely different. Now it's a AEW rematch.
Hey, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about it whatsoever. And we're gonna get see more of it than we would have seen
Absolutely.
on television. So you joined in December. Did you join before or after their December show?
So they didn't actually end up having their December. So they had to cancel that
What?
whole show. So the last show, I think their December show was 2023, I believe.
Oh yeah, it is 2023, not
So then they
2024.
started announcing this stuff for 2024, and then it got, yeah. So I'm a little like loose on the timeline too, because I joined December of 2024. So that's when I really started getting involved.
That's fair. Well, let's talk about that co-promotion stuff that you're kind of already alluding to. You know, this show has talent that has been involved and or contracted with AEW, TNA, DDT, Tokyo Joshi Pro, Dragon Gate, CMLL. I guess I think like Ella Envy worked at NWA. I think she's just an indie, but you know, there's that too if you want to throw that in here. And obviously, like you said, even WWE ID talent. What are, from your perspective, what have been the pros and cons with working with these other promotions?
A little bit of both for everything, you know. CMLL has a lot of do's and don'ts, you know, obviously, like, I don't know if this is like a thing. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but they're very, you know, like kayfabe is real, you know, keep kayfabe alive and stuff like that. So when it comes to promoting and who I'm supposed to talk to, I can only talk to specific people about the matches and stuff like that. So it's a little different. It also, like, we had to get permission for them to like be on our posters and all the roster had to get checked, you know, cause they're very particular about who they work with.
Yeah.
TJ BW is the same thing. It was, one of the reasons why I think that match happened is because when we pitched it, I'm guessing they told Miyu that what the match was immediately, and Miyu knew who Maya was or was excited about it because she immediately followed Maya on Twitter, and he came back and was like, "Yeah, she's perfectly like good to work this match. She's excited for it. This is the match we want." And then when we had changes, they kept asking us like, "And this is the match that's still happening, right?" And we're like, "Yes, like this one is not changing." So. There's just certain rules and stuff. Like, you know, when we book Kevin Blackwood, we get to talk to Kevin Blackwood, let him, you know, like he represents himself, he carries himself, stuff like that. Versus having to go through like four different channels to book people. Yep. Agents are tough because, you know, they're being told the same thing from big companies that we are, and then last second it's like, oh, we can't use them. So then it's another like day wait from hearing from the company to the agent to us. So it's a little difficult. And then, you know, they have a job to do. So they're like, oh, you lost this person. Here's seven wrestlers that are under contract with us that you want to use, that you can use. And it's like, well, we're not really interested. Like, you know, it's just different. So you get
like a list of wrestlers that like, oh, these guys are available.
Yeah. I don't think that's like a really big secret or anything. I mean, they just have people, you know, that they represent. So they're like,
yeah,
here's who we represent. If these are people you're interested in working with, and they kind of go from there. So that's how we got Shelton, I believe, is because he had reached out, or the owner had reached out about someone else. And then they were like, this person's unavailable. We have these names. So.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So you talked about Shelton. Obviously, there are some people that have been pulled from the show, you know, in the main event. Obviously, you mentioned Mo Jabari. You mentioned Shelton Benjamin being probably the bigger name for most people. Obviously, he's decided to go hang out with Scotty in Boston instead. Another person ducking and dodging you. So talk to me about that process, that I imagine stressful process of rebooking your main event.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because that one at least came, I think if that had been changed again, like early on, we would have been a little more panicked. But at that point, we had already been talking to CML and already had, you know, two people. I'll put him over again. Rob Viper from WrestleCon, who books the WrestleCon Super Show. He had helped me out immensely with the CML stuff. So he had already had him booked for his show. He's in a 3-on-3. And so I was like, you know, do you want to split flights or whatever? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then the only thing he asked was that we didn't announce it before his match. But he helped us. Fair. They already had the flight and hotel booked and everything. So it kind of just worked out for there. So it's kind of nice because even when we say like we're working with, you know, the CML places like that, all the indie companies that we've worked with have been great as well. And, you know, organizing times and this, like I said, Big Time Wrestling, same time as us, they have three of the same people on a roster. They're reaching out to us, ask when their matches are and if they can make it to both venues because it's so close. Mm-hmm. You know, I had previous conversations with Scotty and West Coast Pro about Marvelous Wrestlers when they were coming in. And so there's obviously going to be some people who are a little shady or gatekeepy, but all the people that we have communicated with have been so great, like Prestige, West Coast Pro, WrestleCon, Big Time, all those places. So we did have a company that was looking at, you know, working the same venue as us, and then that didn't work out. And then there was another venue that they decided to do, and then they backed out of that one and got their own. So that one, I'm gonna not as fun, but it is what it is, you know.
Hey, it is what it is. It's business at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, like I guess to answer your question is we'd already made all these changes and we already changed the main event once. So we felt pretty confident like that we do have a replacement that's going to be of equal value, which is hard to do with Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah. Hey, look, but over here on Ring Post Radio, we're big Hetchy fans. That's why we call him Big Hetchy. So we're not going to complain at all with Big Hetchy on the card. So I think that's a solid replacement for what he can get. Are there any matchups, speaking about some of the wrestlers, are there any matchups that any of the wrestlers requested to have? You sort of alluded to that with possibly with Miyu Watanabe.
So I'm really good friends with Maya. Maya's one of my best friends in wrestling. So when we're doing this, and I convinced them like Maya's going to be on the card. You know, I was like pushing for her. She's the only person that like, you know, nepotism works. I really want her on the card. I think it would be awesome because just for me, like if I'm working on a show, I want one of my best friends to be to have that experience with me, right? And luckily, she's someone who has like a good reputation and is very good in the ring and can wrestle anybody.
Yes.
So that match wasn't really requested. I just think that they asked Miyu if she wanted it, and she was like, I know who that is, because Jada was just announced to go over there. So I don't know if she had knew who she was to that. No idea. The only match we had fully requested is a real bummer because it was changed 10 minutes ago, you know? And Zara and Hayan really wanted to wrestle each other, so that was a big one. They had posted about it. Zara was already on our card. Hayan had reached out, so unfortunately, that one is now changed, but that's we tried to do that one, and that's a bummer because that's obviously like a match I wanted to see just as a fan. But Hayan's been so great and like and helped, you know, with every promotion thing we've asked her. She's obviously incredible. I just saw her last night against Izumi Live, one of the best wrestlers in the world. So to kind of take away like a dream match, both like on paper and for them, it just kind of sucks. But the only other one similar we had is Mal versus Masha. We had kind of asked Masha who she would be interested in facing, and then Mal, same thing. And then we're like, well, both of you are available. Is that something you guys are interested in? And Masha's was like, immediately was like, yes, please, that's the one I want. And so she's seems really, really, really excited about it. So I'm very happy with that.
That's always fun to hear because you know you get the you know that sort of behind the scenes like see like what people are excited about that gives an extra like oomph of anticipation for the match because you know that like people like Masha Slamovich is like I want this to be really good because I this is the one I want. So it's always you know good thing for fans to watch.
Yeah, I think like Masha's in such a unique position where she's always like the person you want to face against like the big incoming wrestler, right? Because she's one of the best wrestlers in the US. Her and Hayan very similar with that, where it's like Azumi's in town, we want them to face this person. This person's in town. So to give Masha just something like unique, that's still going to be a very good match. Like they're two incredible wrestlers, but they also like have worked together a bunch, you know, on the same cards. Both very talented, both insane people. So to have them, two crazy people, go one on one, I think is really exciting. So,
Are there any, you already mentioned that a little bit. Are there any some matches that you're personally excited to quote, kind of see live? I'm sure you're going to be busy, but to certain degrees, kind of, is there anything that you're super excited to see live?
I'm not kidding when I tell you, like, the reason why we like our card so much is because we all like it from top to bottom. Like, I don't, there's nothing on here that I'm like, I don't care. I don't miss that one, whatever. Like everybody's, even when it comes, like I said, our pre-show match with Tommy versus Sean, like I wasn't even familiar with Sean. And then since then have become such a big fan of him and just him as a person. So like that one, I'm like, I can't believe that's like the pre-show match. Like that's
Yes.
crazy to me. So no, I mean, I all of them, but if I'm picking one, it's obviously going to be Miyu versus Maya, because that's one my friend did too. Miyu is just incredible. But you know, this is gonna be my first time seeing the CMLL guys live. We have the women's tag, which is you know, three people have been on our shows before, three people that we all really like and everything. Actually, wait, no, sorry, Brittany, I don't think has been on our show. She was booked for a show and couldn't make it in the past, but Brittany just moved to Las Vegas, so she had reached out. And we're like, I was like, yes, please. Like this is, I was like, this is someone I think we should work with. And then that's how Ella came out too. She messaged us on Instagram, sent us a really nice message with all of her references. But I think that match is going to really be, you know, it's like lower on like the international like known level, you know, on the card.
Sure.
But I think they're really going to surprise it because they're all really excited for it. It's two people who have worked with us before. It's, you know, now Sandra's on her retirement tour. I think they're really gonna surprise a lot of people, I think.
That match, of course, Sandra Moon and Brooke Havoc versus Brittany Brooks and Ella Envy. So you, by being the sort of communications person and being the, like I said, talent liaison is the phrase I'm using. In terms of helping and assisting and booking and getting people and cultivating this sort of roster, I guess you can say. What is it that like as sort of the filter, I guess you could say, what is it that like you're sort of like looking into when you get when you see matches and footage of thinking about potential people for this kind of promotion in pandemic, not pandemic, Pandemonium Pro.
Yeah, probably a bad name to have after that,
Agreed. Yeah.
but too close.
Bad slip of the tongue there.
I'm gonna be like, there's nothing really specific we look for as far as like pros. Like, I mean, you know, when Ella messaged us, it was like perfect timing. We were looking for something. She is great. Like, we think she's great, and
Yeah.
she sent us a very like very professional and nice message. She was very excited about it. She was so excited about the show, she accidentally let it slip up in a podcast before she was announced. So, you know, like, obviously she was super apologetic about it, but I was like, that just shows how excited she was for it. So, no, I mean, there's nothing that I'll tell you. There's messages that people send that were like, that are kind of immediately like turn us off or whatever, where it's like when some message
Sure.
is like, is there someone available to talk to, like we're a chat bot or something, or when they send us like just a weird like, hey, I want to get booked by you or something. It's just like weird messages like that where I don't think I'm like this most like professional person in the world, but sometimes we'll get messages where I'm like, you could have put something, you know,
there's
give
a
us reason to like look at it and stuff.
Personality, a vibe sort of
Yeah.
thing of, you know, if you're meshing together sort of thing.
I don't even mind if someone says like, hey, my friend's on this show. They said I'm supposed to talk to you. Cause like I've gotten messages
Yeah.
directly
Yeah.
and like, I don't mind that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, that's half our card is, you know, people referred by other people and stuff. So,
Yeah.
yeah, there's just, but as far as the matches go, it's like, as long as like one big one for our group, you know, you don't have a reputation of being someone that's hard to work with or difficult or anything like that. And we just like your work and then we like everybody on our card's work.
Yeah, it's like I said, again, a great card. That main event, Kevin Blackwood versus Big Hechi, the women's tag here. And also you have, again, probably one of my most anticipated matches of the weekend. That is a CMLL Dragon Gate talent special tag team match. Teton and Ben Kay versus Barbero, Cavernario, and Yamato. The moment I saw this, I was like, this rules, legitimately. This looks so great. I think this is such a great foursome pair to put together. How did this match come together? And whose crazy idea was it to have, instead of CMLL versus Dragon Gate, just mixing it up and doing this sort of half and half?
I will take credit for literally all of this match because, so I had messaged Ho Ho because I knew him through someone else and I knew he was taking bookings. And he gave us a list of names and, you know, everything like that, what he needs from us. Stipulation, stuff like that. So we're kind of looking through and we're trying to figure out which guys we want that would be like not necessarily unique, but you know, like, cause like when Dragon Gate guys get booked, it's a lot of similar guys or these mixed groups or whatever. So it's like, we're trying to figure out, okay, well, we don't want to do the thing that a lot of companies do. And this isn't any disrespect to them, but like having the two people from different factions on the same team just because they're from the same company thing. So having a heel with a baby face, whatever you want to do. So we're trying to figure out how to kind of work that. The CMLL guys happened because we had more AW people booked that weren't announced that we got denied for.
Sure.
And so we were trying to figure out, okay, how do we replace like this tag kind of thing? Obviously, like all like two of our champions, technically three, with the Morrison and Nyla and Serpentico are tag champions and the whatever TV champion. So we're trying to get like big name replacements for some of these bigger names that we had on our show. So I had reached out, funny enough, to Soberano Jr. And we had been talking, and then we had Templario announced, and then Templario accidentally had to pull, which I'm assuming is now because I think he's staying in Japan for a bit, but that's not, that we didn't know at the time. So we'd announced
yeah.
him, then not gotten him. So that was kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to figure out like replacements and everything. And then Soberano says, oh, I can't make it. Like, you know, they told me no, but I want you should book Cavernario. Like, And so it's funny, he was like pushing for him hard. Like he was like, he wants to work the show. He's so excited for it. And then he seemed very enthusiastic about the show, very excited for it. So just another, like, you know, recommendation from one wrestler to another. And so we kind of just went with it because one, like, I'm not super into like CML as much as my friends are. Like, I'm not going to pretend
Sure.
to be like, but I know just from like how enthusiastic they are and this and that. So like, it comes down to like asking like, hey, do you think we should book this guy? Or, you know, what's the general view on this person or whatever? So then we had him, and originally we were going to have him versus, I believe, Ben K, in just a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then we were trying to figure out like, okay, well, maybe we do a tag instead. And it was back to like step one, you know? And then this one just kind of came about where we had all these guys available.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to figure out between the three Dragon Gate guys, which ones would make sense in the tag. Which one would make sense for Cappuccino because we wanted to give him a match. And then this is kind of just how it ended up being when we were kind of discussing like, options, whatever. I'll be totally honest, this is the funniest thing about the match. I literally said that we should put Yamato and Cavernario together on the match because they both have long hair and they could be like beautiful hair friends. And so that's really what it comes down to for me.
That's look, you know, sometimes that's awesome.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Sometimes you just, you know, whatever you know, creative decision strikes in the moment, you gotta pursue it, you know.
I'm like, they got beautiful hair, they're awesome.
that's legitimately great. Yeah, it looks like a great match, and I think it's great inspired booking. And the fact that you're like, yeah, I'm not like as high on CML as like a lot of my other friends, but like everyone else that is high on CML is like, holy shit, this match rules.
No, that was literally something. The reaction, because like obviously I know a lot of like the big names, like that's why we reached out to Soberano Jr. And like when I was like, yeah, is Cavernario, is that how, that's how you pronounce it, right? Okay,
yeah.
I'm just making sure. I keep fucking up. Anyways, so
look, I nail names all the time on podcasts, so there's no concerns whatsoever.
This is like the only one I have trouble with.
That's fair. It's the Nario, it's the Ario Cavernario. It's a lot of that.
His Twitter handle confuses me too, because it's like a mix of both.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, every time I'm trying to look him up, I'm like, what is this thing again? Yeah. Anyways, when I told them, so shout out Eternal Appear on Twitter. He's my friend.
Listener of the show.
Yes. I asked him, hey, what's your feelings on this guy? And he just goes, that's literally my favorite wrestler in the world. And I was like, oh, okay, so we should book him. Because me and him have very similar tastes. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. Immediately, like, I'm like, okay, I get to. And then Folk, I think he's a listener too. He's been one of our big translators, so he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. It's a very exciting tag team match. You mentioned you also have the other third Dragon Gate guy, KZ, and he's facing up against Cappuccino Jones. I want to just lay this out here now. You have WWE ID talent, right? Cappuccino Jones, mm-hmm. Sean Legacy, but of course, no WWE ID matches. Just to confirm any sort of things that have popped up in the past couple of months with WWE ID talent, all these things, did you ever have to consult with WWE or even like Gabe Sapolsky or anyone on getting these wrestlers onto your show?
No, the first time we heard from Gabe was him positively quote tweeting us. Like that was really it. We haven't had any issues. The only thing that we've been told, from one of the wrestlers is like, if we're selling merch, we can't have a WWE logo on it. That is literally the only thing we've heard.
Which, honestly, that makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah, because otherwise all of them would be booked with WWE merch all over their stuff.
Yeah, that's not even like defensive WWE. That's just like that legitimately makes
sense. It's like a brand thing.
Exactly. It's a brand thing. And at the end of the day, like, I get it. Yeah, KZ versus Cappuccino Jones, I think that's really nice. Maya World, Miyu Watanabe, that should be really fun. Hyun, obviously, that has just recently changed. So you're recently unpacking that with Kingsley, an Australian wrestler from PWA, I believe. So shout out them as well, which I believe they've done some work with Raf on the... Anyways, I'm just putting connections in my brain. This is a very great card, and I really enjoy it. There's also some other things about this show that are baffling to me. Why is Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption 2 going to be at the show? What happened here?
That is a very specifically me unique story. So I'm obsessed with that game. I'm one of those people that when I get into something, I watch like all these like videos on it, you know, YouTube videos. And so it starts recommending me shorts. And I watch this video where he's talking about like wrestling. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Like he's kind of talking about it like, oh yeah, I used to watch this and this. And then randomly on Twitter a couple days later, he posts a picture of him doing a stunner. And so I'm like, what the heck? And so I like look into it, and he did some indie show in like North Carolina a couple years ago.
Oh.
And yeah, he did a stunner on it. So I emailed him, never heard anything back. And then I saw someone had gotten this like collab interview with him on Instagram. So I like commented like, how did you get in touch with him? Like I've been, you know, wanting to work with him. And so I don't know if he saw that comment because he didn't like it. And then he messaged us back on Instagram like months later and is like, oh, this sounds awesome and blah, blah, blah. Here's my actual email. And so we kind of worked together on it. And yeah, he's so excited for the show. Like, nicest guy in the world. It's kind of funny because when I was talking with him about it, I had a phone call with him and I don't think he put it together like that. He definitely did. He didn't put it together that it was like WrestleMania weekend and stuff. He just thought it was like another show. So I'm at work. I was on my lunch calling him and then I go back to work and I don't realize until later that night that he left me the nicest voicemail I've ever seen in my life. I can send it to you after. Like, sure. It was the nicest thing ever. And he was like, he was just like all clicking for me. He was like, oh, that's this weekend and this. And so he was like down to do it and he's here. So we have some fun stuff with him.
It sounds like ultimately for him, from his perspective, it's also getting him in town for WrestleMania weekend. And it sounds like he's slowly realizing like, oh shit, I can get all these shows. Holy crap. I'm here.
When we had the original conversation, we said like, you know, obviously I believe this is his first WrestleMania weekend he's ever even attending. Yeah. So I said like, realistically, I know that you're going to want to do other stuff too. And our show's on Thursday, not the best time. Thursday, Friday. We're not going to try to get you home on, you know, before the weekend even really starts or for WWE. So we kind of just worked out kind of a deal with like, you know, paying for his like flight and hotel for the time while he's here.
Sure.
So he's really, really excited for it. I believe he's going to WrestleMania, but I'm not 100%.
Oh, we'll find out. I'm sure we'll get one of those long zoom lenses over to just to Arthur Morgan in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of in the 200s or whatever.
Somewhere over there, yeah. Like, I believe he said that his kids are fans too, so I don't know if they're coming. Mm. But yeah, he said his kids were like fans of wrestling too. So,
well, speaking about people and long zoom lenses, this is a question from Scotty specifically, and he wanted to make sure for me to ask you this, which is specifically. If listeners of the show might know where I'm going with this, Scotty wants to know, why didn't you book Evil? He's here. He came here last weekend. He's year. He's coming this year. Yeah, that one show over on, I think, Defy, right? Against Michael Oku. Why didn't you book Evil?
Listen, I love Defy, but that's a second, you know, nice to know that, you know, we were his first choice. So. So here's the genuine story of how it happened. So a couple weeks ago, I think this would have been like a week and a half ago at this point.
Sure.
We're trying to figure out a replacement for the main event. Mm-hmm. We're working through all this stuff. We finally send the money over to CMLL for Hechicero. And I'm not kidding. 2 hours later, I'm at the bar with my real life friends. And I get a text message. And I look down and I'm like, why is Sumi Sakai texting me at like 11 o'clock at night? And then she just texts me, oh, Evil wants to be on your show. Here's his booking rate and this and that. And then we're trying to like, can we fit him in anywhere? Like, where can we put him? And we just couldn't do it. And I was like, if she had texted me like 2 days before, we might have gone with him over him versus Kevin, which I think would have been an awesome match too.
Hold on, him over Kevin? I thought it would have been over Big Hechi. Him over Kevin?
Oh, no. Sorry. Him versus Kevin.
Okay. Evil versus Big Hechi.
No. We would never kick Kevin off her show. He's the best.
When we're looking at options,
like, we, you know, we're still working with CML on this thing. We're not fully confirmed if he's there until like the day of, and I'm like, of course you would text me this like 2 hours after we sent the like the deposit or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we just couldn't make it work. I mean, it didn't make sense on our card. We think like putting him on a random like three or something would have been like done him a disservice. So he's awesome. I hope we can work with him in the future. Sumi's like the best, and Sumi always texts me stuff and wants like, you know, different people she works for and work with and help. So she was great, and we tried to say like, well, if he doesn't get booked, you know, he can come do like a meet and greet and he can keep all that, we just, you know, just to be at the show, which I think he was considering, but he, you know, obviously got booked for Defy.
Evil getting here would have been really fun. I think obviously the premier match for that would have been Ninja Mac and Mustafa Ali turned into a three-way, but ultimately, look, Scotty and I also both agree, if it's just Evil and not Dick Togo, then there's no point. There's really no point. You gotta get a little dick in this action, you know?
Don't you disrespect Evil like that.
No, trust me. This is a pro-Evil podcast. This is infamously a pro-Evil podcast. I'm saying you gotta complete the Cole gimmick. You need to get Dick Togo as well. So work on that for the next show. Get Evil, get Dick Togo over Kevin Blackwood, maybe over Big Hechi if you want to be bold, and we'll fix it on the next one.
I'll tell you, we had reached out to Rocky months ago, mm-hmm. and he never replied. And then we had talked to Kojima, And Kojima's like, here's this email. And we emailed that person. And then they replied with Rocky in an email and was like, he's available for this date, blah, blah, blah. And at that point, we were already like into the Hechicero one. So we're like, well, we'll wait to see, you know, where this goes. So it was like in priority, it was like originally we had looked at Kojima and then Hechicero and then Evil randomly fell on our front, you know, on our lap or whatever. So
that's.
But now we have Rocky Romero's, email or whatever. Gabe Kidd emailed us back. He's working a different show, so he can't work that date. But
I think that's always fascinating is that, you know, obviously when you're, you know, to go back to an earlier question of like going from a regular indie, actually I don't know if I asked the question, but you know, the idea of going from like a regular quote unquote indie card to a WrestleMania weekend card, obviously you almost want to load it up and make this a sort of presentation, right, to the commoners that maybe don't know about Pandemonium Pro. I need to get that out of my head. Like you're trying to expose yourself, but then what on your perspective, which is very fascinating for me to learn, is that like it's not just like you're getting in contact and want to sort of like promote Pandemonium some more to us filthy casuals. It's the idea of getting more contacts so that it almost enhances, well, it enhances Pandemonium. We'll talk about that in a moment, but you know, it enhances the future of what this promotion can look like. You'll have more context to be able to potentially bring in more people down the line.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, what's funny is when we look at like the WWAD people, like none of these people we booked because they're WWAD people, with the exception of maybe like Sean's match got booked because that was an interesting idea at the time. But Sean was someone that like the promoter had already liked and everything. So, Zara, she's a California person. We've worked with her before. We wanted to work with her. But Cappuccino's like 100% Robert Martyr's like booked thing. Like that's his guy. He's been so high on him and praise him. So we wanted to give him a big match, but none of like the WBAD part of it really like hardly ever even came into the conversation with us, like for us. When we look at like the connections to the future, like Duke, for example, like we were talking about booking him like down the line and then his passport thing got fixed and right then the Wardlow thing happened and it just worked out. We're like, okay, guess it's for the show now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and there's people we've talked to about the future as well, you know, like obviously can't put her over enough. Sumi's like the best person, so you know, she's like, this person's going to be available in the summer and you know this now, so she does so much, it's crazy. Here's another little another insider thing I'll tell you.
Sure. I love all these exclusives that we're getting.
Well, listen, if you like, I don't know if I can curse on here.
It's fine, you can curse.
Okay, I'm a messy bitch, so like when I'm on, obviously bitching to Scott about something, I'm like, this freaking thing happened and whatever, and I can't tell him like too much, but you know, whatever.
Sure.
So back in beginning of January, I think we had talked to Sumi about booking some of the Stardom wrestlers on our show, and then it was like, well, they can't work it because we have our show the same day, and I was like, well, is it the same time? And she says, I don't believe so. But we can look at it. And then she goes, Okada says they can work both shows. So I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have Stardom on our show. And then I'm like, wait, we have a TJPW wrestler on the card. I have to get that approved. So I reached them.
Yeah.
Again, Kira Takahashi, coolest person in the world. He's like, he literally sends me like the nicest message, which is like, this would be a big deal if it happened. And we're going to let it happen. But it depends on which wrestlers it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, now we have to figure out which wrestlers it is. And blah, blah. And by the time we get like, done arguing with ourselves about what match makes sense, who's this, Sumi says, oh, sorry, they can't actually do it. And so I'm like, that means it's the same show, it's the same time as us for sure.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That comes down to other things, other people they're working with and when their show is and where it's at. And so, but there was a very, like, at one point, instead of CMLL people, we almost had TJPW and Stardom on the same show, which I believe only GCW has ever done.
Mm-hmm. That would have been fascinating. Perhaps that you could have done that. I know, like, Stardom just like recently has like a bunch of illnesses or injuries or whatever happening.
Yeah.
So I wonder if like maybe the fact that they have two different shows, I wonder if they would have like had saved some people for the next show or something. Doesn't matter. That's all in the past.
Let me tell you, like these most of the girls here, like whether it's just the money or the shows or whatever, they want to work everything. So
of course.
At first it sounded like I thought they were only allowed to work one show a day, and now it's like, you know, some of them are working three shows. I think Shiri's literally working three shows.
I think so.
Stardom, Spark, and then Marvelous. So like they all want to work, they all want to do stuff. So I they're all very into everything that's been pitched and stuff. That's how, I mean, that's how, not to speak for that, but like, you know, HoHo with getting them on the Dragon Gate show, like they want to work, they're in town, they're already here, they don't want to wait around.
That's fascinating. Just to go on that line of, you know, talking about other people, I guess it kind of already kind of been answered, but if there were other people that are confirmed here this weekend, who would you have liked to book? It sounds like a lot of the Stardom people.
Yeah, definitely a lot of stuff. Like we got to the point where like we were like, what would this graphic look like? What would the matches be? Stuff like that, you know. A lot of that. Like I said, a lot of indie wrestlers. There's so many people that I want to work with, like people that are my friends, people I'm just a fan of. I'll just start naming them. The Killionaires, they're wrestle like ETU, really good friend of mine, Jay Bougie. Like they're people I would pay their booking fee myself if I could to get them on this card. Mad Dog Connolly's a big one, big fan of him, really
I
good
love Mad
person.
Dog. I love Mad Dog.
Yeah, Amira is one that like it what sucks is like she would have been our like number one replacement for versus Hyon, but she's already booked for Defy. So funny enough, Lena Cross was someone that I was like, it's a crime that Lena Cross doesn't have a booking yet, and then she gets booked for Spark. But then I mentioned to Big Time had reached out again, the same show as us, reached out about two of the girls on our show, but the timing didn't make sense. So I messaged them. I was like, hey, you reached out for this. That we were splitting Tommy Billington's flight. And I was like, if you're looking for someone, Lena Cross has a is like amazing, and she doesn't have a booking. And then they're like, oh, we'll look into that. And then a couple days later, like, hey, we messaged her on Instagram and she didn't reply. So I messaged her on Twitter and I was like, hey, our friends are trying to book you. And then boom, she's announced for that show. So I was just like, okay, I at least got her something, even if it's not for our show. And so like you can ask any of my friends, like Pride Style, Scotty, who runs West Coast Pro, Prestige. If I see an opening, I'm like, you should book this person. You should be like, our card's full, but you should book this person. We were just on a Twitter space last night, and I was making fun of Scotty for not. I was like, you should book Alpha Zo versus Daniel or Daniel Ryan, and he was like, well, I don't see you booking it. And I was like, well, I'm not the booker. So there's like, you know, there's a lot of people. Daniel Ryan's another one I would kill to have him on our card. I think he's so talented. Maybe the best male wrestler in Texas. Stephen Wolf's in the UK right now, but he's someone I want to work with so bad in the future. Yeah, just a lot of people. What's really nice is going into the show and knowing that I'm working with so many people I wanted to work with, and like it's happening. So that's like a pretty big deal for me.
A couple last couple of questions here. Again, the show is The House Always Wins, April 17th. A big conversation that Scotty and I have a lot on Ring Post Radio is regarding commentary, and sort of that idea of it's just another additional way, not just in terms of the wrestling, but in terms of presenting the story and moves of whatever kind of match you're having. With ideally a big thing for us is ideally not distracting the flow of the match enough for that part of that presentation. How important is it for you all to create a good to great commentary booth for a show, especially for a show like WrestleMania weekend, which, like I said, is going to potentially expose your company to a lot more filthy casuals that might not have heard of Pandemonium Pro?
Jordan was someone, I think Jordan was booked on the show before I even got here, and like he would have been my first choice anyways. So I think Jordan Castle is so good. I actually got to meet him in person for the first time last night. I think he's awesome. And so when we were asking him, like, hey, originally Walker Stewart was on the show, like, hey, would you want to work with Walker? And he was like, I would kill to work with Walker. And so we had the perfect balance, you know, between Jordan being Jordan and being able to do like the color commentary stuff and really like help the narrative of the show. And Walker's like, I think at this point, I think maybe like the best play-by-play commentator in like the world right now. I think he's so good. And so when Walker kind of went out, we were looking at options. We're like, we don't want to try to have like two color commentators or try to focus and force one person to do something they're not comfortable with or whatever. So we were looking at options, and then Spencer Love from Love Pro, he's my friend. I knew he was going to be in town. He's done it for his shows. He's the only person I could be like, hey, we want to book you. Is it cool if you do like commentary this way? And he was like, no problem at all. Super professional. So we didn't want to have the commentary be like too much. We want to let Jordan be Jordan without having to work with like another person of that type, you know, like being really like into the stories and the show and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's always very important, at least for me. In the past year, it has become super important to me about a good commentary booth. So it's good to hear that it's come together.
I'll say, just to finish up on that point, I think Jordan is so good that sometimes I feel like he gets with other announcers who it kind of becomes like a competition where it's like Jordan's so naturally good that I feel like sometimes I don't know if the other person has to like feel like they have to step it up or whatever, but it just kind of becomes like putting themselves over, you know what I mean? And not to disrespect anybody specifically, but we were just very specific about like what we wanted to like enhance what Jordan does versus like having two people do the same thing at the same time. So we want to use Jordan to the best of his abilities.
No, of course. Like I said, it is part of the presentation of your product, right? At the end of the day, it is the audio cue. The reason it's become so important to me is that I read in Vader's autobiography, him talking about how like his matches felt different once JR left WCW for WWF. And it was just like, just because JR was not on the calls there anymore. Like, yeah, it is an aspect of your production of the matches themselves that can rapidly 100%. Change how it's perceived.
In your identity. I mean, like when I watch Prestige, it's like, it'd be weird if Jordan wasn't there. And you know, I think Pandemonium has gone through multiple commentators. So we want to try to get a team together that we can have pretty consistently. So hopefully moving forward, these are the two guys that we use. We do want to bring Walker back because Walker's like the coolest. And he's not on a show. I'm gutted that I don't get to like hang out with him and meet him because I was so excited for that. But we want to have him come back eventually as well.
Yeah, that's completely fair. And I would love to hear him on the call, one of these future shows. Well, let's talk about the future because I saw on April 7th, it was announced that Pandemonium Pro Wrestling and Epic Pro Wrestling have agreed to merge promotions to create a new promotion called Worldwide Wrestling. So this sort of, I guess, potentially makes this one of the last Pandemonium Pro shows, as far as I understand things.
So So basically what it comes down to is our owner, so I'm now like owns both companies, right? Like legally owns them. Epic Pro is still going to be Epic Pro. We're still going to be Pandemonium.
Okay.
There is times where we're looking into possibly doing, you know, joint shows running twice in a day or versus shows, whatever. But then we also have some other projects that we want to work with, you know, eventually getting to a point where we want to do like an all woman show that's not necessarily under either brand. There's a thing I'm working on for next year that I've been working on for a while though, that Scotty knows about. So I can let you know what that is after this, but it was going back to the next thing. Like there's something that I want Scotty to do commentary for. There's like different things. And like, that would be under like, you know, the Worldwide Wrestling brand versus like being cause it's not really a Pandemonium show. It's not really an Epic Pro show. It'd be this other thing. So it's really just like two things under the same umbrella. That's really all it is.
More of a collaboration. AEW Ring of Honor, if you will.
It's like, there's not really distinct like rosters or anything. It's just like, I would be very sad if we couldn't work with like, you know, Jordan Cruz or Alpha Zoe or any of those people that are on Epic Pro or Royce Isaacs, especially. So it's nothing like that. Yeah. It's Roberts, our booker. Our friend is going to be still booking Epic Pro. I don't know if he wants his name out there, but he's still going to be booking his own show. He's really good at what he does with Epic Pro, so we don't want to like interfere with that or anything like that. But no, it's just more of a conglomerate kind of thing than it is like a merger, which the verbiage merger obviously like goes in there, but it's mostly just to say like they're both coming together under this one thing.
Sure. That's a good clarification. I think it's a good clarification as well, especially for the future. Because like I said, it was like you want to maintain the momentum going from this show into whenever the next show is happening. So keeping that consistency is,
be a good thing. Hopefully going to announce our next thing pretty soon. I don't know if we're going to get it done by our show, but we do have some LA-based things. That's where we're from. I'm from Oregon, Robert's all the way in like Florida. But the shows are based in LA, mostly based in LA. So moving forward, we want to do some stuff. You know, we know some WWE shows are coming to some big shows are coming to California. So
sure. Hey, well, look, and you know, you can always go to y'all in Texas and you know,
funny enough, we were working so hard on that, and we were actually planning on doing something there. We had talked with so many people about doing something. We had some big international names that we were talking about doing. We unfortunately decided not to do it, and then TJPW announced that they're doing a Texas thing on a different day. That was something we had talked with them about. It just didn't really work out between how much effort has gone into this show and how much stress it's been. We just didn't want to start. We'd have to be like halfway through booking that one, you know, already. And so we just decided like, no, let's just wait. So
I didn't think about that in terms of indie booker stress of doing this twice a year.
Will, who runs Prestige, is the most insane person in the world, because this man's promoting three shows at the same time.
Yes.
So they, I don't know if you just saw, they announced that Tony Storm's going to be at here in Portland, like on an indie show, big deal. Just announced that. Like,
nice.
He's the craziest man in the world. So I mean, he's promoting shows a week apart. Like, I just went to where they're last night, and I'm going to be at a show again next Thursday. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. Look. It's always, you know, next steps ahead, that sort of idea. So maybe that's just something that will pick up as you become more comfortable with this whole world, I guess.
Yeah. He's a different beast.
Well, again, Nick, thank you very much for talking to me, sitting down with me and talking about I need to stop doing that.
Makes me feel better about getting Cavernario's name wrong so many times.
That's fair, I guess. The Pandemonium Pro, The House Always Wins, April 17th, Las Vegas, Nevada, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. Stream live on YouTube, or if you're in the area, of course, KPVM TV. How many are the tickets sold out? What's the ticket situation looking like?
We could use for more tickets, but you know, we're not alone in that. It's been, in general, WrestleMania, I think this has been tough for a lot of indies, so we're sitting in a better position than a lot of places, but you know, we still want to sell more tickets, so go buy them.
Yes, of course.
I do also want to say, because I did put a tweet out with this, we want people to watch our show in groups and stuff. You know, if you're watching on Twitch, Discord, groups, whatever, we don't just like endorse it. We absolutely encourage it. We think that's what makes these shows go, you know, trending on Twitter. What sets stuff apart. So we're big on that. Literally the only thing we ask is that people like the video, stream it in the background if they can. But we hope everyone streams it on Discord and watches it. Does group watches and stuff, because we want people talking about our show.
Of course. You obviously want to come out of that, get on the show. And I think people will. Like I said, main event, Kevin Blackwood versus Big Hetchy. There's some great matches. KZ Cappuccino Jones, Ninja Back versus Mustafa Ali. That's very exciting. That six-man opener, probably the opener. I assume this is the match order. Duke making his U.S. state side, I think, debut, right?
He was in ROW literally last night.
My apologies. There we go.
But Duke we didn't know either, so...
Alan Angels, Fuego del Sol versus Jordan Cruz, Sonico, and Wicket, and a bunch of other great matches on this card. I'm very excited to see the show. 601 East Fremont Street, if you're there live, go get your tickets today. Any other plugs? Nick, any other plugs for last minute bits to get people to get the show? Come on, people. You got to go check out the show.
In general, like, I understand not everyone can make it to WrestleMania. There's a million things going on. Check out the replay once it's done. We're filming our show. One thing I can promise you, on top of our card, we're going to have the best film, like, of anybody. We're using 8K cameras. Obviously, it can only stream like 1080p,
What is this, Wrestle Universe? Holy shit.
Yeah, funny enough, we just had Miyu Yamashita versus Miyu Watanabe uploaded to Wrestle Universe, so this show should also, I believe, be uploaded eventually on there as well. So that's like, yeah, that was really cool. Putting over our team, like, the owner's been so fantastic and really let me and Robert do a bunch of stuff. Robert's so smart and so, like, into, like, wrestling and knows everybody, knows everything. He's so good. I can't put him over enough. I was putting him over to... He was booked for our show originally, and he took himself off the show to take this role, you know, with 100% attention. So I've been pushing him to get booked on other shows and everything. Cannot state enough how, like, talented and smart he is. And then we have our friend Daniel also has been helping out with a bunch of the stuff on our show. So all four of us together, couldn't ask for a better team. They're awesome. But, I mean, to be honest, when it comes to the card, like, I don't know what else to say when it comes to selling it. I don't think there's anything that compares to us. Like, yeah, and I say that as a fan. The only show that I genuinely myself want to watch more than our own show is the Marvelous show, and they're not opposing each other. So, and yeah. I don't even think that's the case for everybody. I just love Marvelous. So I think when you're looking at indies shows, ours is the best one. We have, you know, people you've never heard of on the card and people you'll know about on top of some of the best international wrestlers in the world. So.
As of right now, on Thursday, us recording on Sunday, as of right now, it's the best card to watch Thursday, April 17th at 3 p.m. Eastern. Because
Miyu Watanabe is going to be the best Joshi wrestler wrestling at 11 a.m., 12 p.m. on Thursday, April 17th.
Yeah, as of right now.
She's absolutely the best Joshi wrestler.
No, I agree.
You know?
I agree. it's hard. It's good to counter against a show that has no card together. But alas. Again, Pandemonium Pro, House always wins. This is a great card. Nick, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for sitting down.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this special bonus episode. Again, we'll be back on Monday with our regularly scheduled Ring Post Radio, where we're going to talk about Pandemonium Pro and a bunch of other wrestling from WrestleMania weekend. So stay tuned for that. And until then, enjoy your Taco Bell. This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.
Ram trucks have always powered American freedom. Now with our Freedom of Choice pricing program, you can choose your offer, cash incentives, or employee pricing for all. Hurry into your local dealer today for details, because nothing stops America and nothing stops Ram. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Rams for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers and lessees will qualify. Restrictions apply. Not combinable with other offers. Ends 4/30/25. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.